Begin the current daf Maseches Baba Basra daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Beginning on the second line down for the top of the Amud, the Gemara continues with another incident relating to the halachas of the previous daf, which was quoted in the Mishnah Maseches Peah regarding this idea where if a man is dividing his assets, and amongst that he gives to his children, and he also gives a karka kolshu, a small piece of land, to his wife. On that, the Gemara paskan like Rav Nachman, according to the conclusion of the halacha like Rav Yosi, that the woman is going to be meichel on, although that karka is not sufficient for her ksuba that's otar. However, she's going to be meichel the shiba, the lien that she has on the other parts of the assets which the children are getting, because she's happy that she's one of the heirs, that she was a shutuf ben ashutuf, that she's part of the division of the properties. So on that, Agamar continues with different halachas regarding to this halacha. Hahuda palginu le'nichsed, a certain person that divided his assets le'itzei ulebnei, to his wife and to his children, with the tzava, with the command of the shchimer of the person on his deathbed, where he made his wife a partner, with this concept that we mentioned, mein abanim, between the children, which generally that would mean to say that she's meichel on the shibra of the ksuba. However, shayir chad dikla, he didn't divide all of his properties, he left over one tree that he didn't designate who that's going to go to. So says the Gemara, Sav Ravina Lamemus, or Ravina thought to say that less law, that the woman is not going to get from the excess of the ksuba, that she's not getting sufficiently from the piece of land that she's getting in the division of the estate, elachad dikla, only that tree. The reason for that is because, as we explained in the previous stuff, if the husband had not left out that tree, we said that she lost the ability to collect her ksuba from the children because she was already meichel to them her shibud. Because, as we said, since she was made as a partner, so she's okay, that pleasure that she, her husband consider her as a partner of the inheritance, she's meichel the shibud of that other parts of the assets. Now, so now that the children get that part, and the only thing that's left over that was not designated to the children is that one tree. Okay, so that still has the shibud. So besides what she's getting, she can then collect from that tree, but nothing more than that. And that only Rabbi Yemir Ravina. However, Rabbi Yemir said to Ravina, "Eless law, if she does not have her ksuba from the portion that's given to the children, because as we said, that she knows that there's no other assets to the husband, and she's meichel this, what that's given to her children, because she's made as a partner amongst them. But if that's the case, says Rabbi Yemir, so chadikla nami lesla, then even that other tree that was left out, she also shouldn't get for her ksuba, because she knows about that tree, and she's meichel regarding that tree to the inheritors of her husband's assets. The reason for that is because she was meichel her whole ksuba from all the assets that the husband has, because, as we said, because he made her into a partner. Because, says Rav Yemer, what should be the difference for her to be meichel the shiba that she has on those which is given to the children? And what should be any different from that of the tree which was not yet divided? Ella, but rather, says Rav Yemer, what do we have to say? For what reason did you say, and you agreed, that no, she would be able to collect her ksuba from that tree? It's because it's not true. She's not carte blanche being meichel her ksuba. Because, to the contrary, here he left over a tree where she could collect the excess that's otar from a ksuba from that tree. Where, as we see, because that's not part of his estate that he's giving over to his children. So he left it over for her to collect. Ah, so says Rav Yemer, so since you're agreeing, I'm going to go the other extreme. Since that he left over the tree that she could collect her ksuba from, so the same thing is also that she's remaining with the ability to collect from all his assets, even that which was divided amongst his sons. And the reason for that is because this that she was silent and she did not contest, which on the previous stuff we explained on some level means say because she's meichel, it's not true. Here it's because the husband left over something which was not divided amongst the children, which was this one tree. So she thought, why should I contest right now? Let me wait till the courts evaluate this tree and I'll collect my ksuba from that tree. And then if that's not enough, then I'll contest regarding what was given to the sons and then I'll collect the excess from the sons. The reason for this is because her silence in this situation, says Rabbi Yemer, it does not indicate a mechila, only where the husband is dividing all his assets and there's nothing left over. There, the reason is because that she's obviously indicating that she's meichel. Now, it's because of this reason itself that we were in doubt regarding the question of Rava on the previous daf he had regarding a healthy person. Where the question that we had over there was because since we could say that ultimately he's in the prime of his life, he's going to go ahead and purchase more things later on. So she thinks to herself, why should I go ahead and protest right now? Maybe let me wait and see if I'll have something to collect from that. And that's why we said her silence would not necessarily indicate that it's an admission and that she's meichel. Rather, she's just waiting and seeing if I need to protest or not. Maybe he's going to have stuff. So that's the same reasoning, says Rabbi Yemer over here, that since he left her something to collect from, which is this one tree, that's why she's silent. And then, yes, if that's not sufficient, then she'll go ahead and complain regarding the rest. And therefore, says Rabbi Yemer, no. Not only will she be able to collect from that one tree, she'll be able to collect from everything, even what was given to the children. Now, the Rashbam concludes this sugya by saying what we learned from this sugya from the previous staff, is regarding a Shechiv Merah that writes all his nechasim, or he divides his property amongst his sons in front of his wife. And also he gives her a small piece of land, and she's silent and she does not protest. And the same thing is if he writes all his properties to some other person in front of her, and he gives her and writes her one piece of land, those others will acquire it because she's Meichel or Shibud, and she's not going to be able to collect from it like we passed in the previous stuff, like Rav Nachman, who, since she says, wow, my husband made me a partner amongst those who are dividing his property, so with that pleasure she goes and she's Meichel and she loses the rights to collect the Ksuba by the fact that he made her a partner, which doesn't make a difference if that's with her children, with his children, or with other people. Now, but this was only said, as we're explaining here in this sugya, if he divided all his properties amongst his wife and his inheritors. But if he left over even one tree, which is like a small piece of land, and he didn't designate who that's for, that's what the Gemara is saying over from Rabbi Yemer, that since that she could collect from that tree, so too she go ahead and collect from all his assets, and she wasn't meichel anything. Now, this, again, was specifically if he wrote her a piece of land. But if he gave her only metaltlin, like we said in the previous staff, payris, and not land, then she would not be considered as something significant as being a partner amongst the children. And therefore, she's not meichel, and she would still be able to collect from old nechasim, as Rabbi Nachman said, that metaltlin kamrinon, yes, if that's all he left her, that's not significant for her to be meichel her shibud. Now, moreover, when we say this, that she loses her ksuba, is only from those assets that the husband at that point had, besides giving her a small piece of land, had given the rest to his children. But if at some later point in time he goes and acquires more assets, then even if, as we said, the Chiddush of the Gemara, from that which he had divided amongst his children, but then one of the children died and then he gets it back from the child, even from that, the wife could go ahead and collect the excess ksuba from that, because that's what he writes. So the asar anol miknim, whatever even I'm going to ultimately end up acquiring, is meshubed to your ksuba. Now, but this is all told about specifically regarding a shiv merah, a person on his deathbed, as we said in the previous daf. But a healthy person who divides his assets amongst his children, and he also writes to his wife a small piece of land, that is Rav's question from the previous daf, if she's meichel her shibud on these nechasim or not, and the Gemara remained with a takeaway, and since the conclusion of the Gemara is in doubt, so we say in that situation, which in this case is the woman, she has to bring the proof, because that's the halacha whenever you have a takeaway, whoever's holding it is the one that remains holding it. Now, however, if he ultimately ends up buying something, even in the case of a bari, then of course she's going to have to be able to collect the ksuba from that which she subsequently buys. Now the Gemara continues, going back now to the topic of our Mishnah, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Shchiv Merah, regarding a person on his deathbed. Now, the reason why it mentions specifically a Shchiv Merah is because we're going like Rabbi Yechim and Bereke, as the Gemara will later on explain how Rav Huna is going like Rabbi Yechim and Bereke, who that's the topic of our Mishnah, regarding that a person could say who he wants to inherit, let's say a son among the sons, or possibly even Acher B'Mokim Bas and Bas B'Mokim Ben, where there was a question in the previous staff if Rabbi Yechim Rikis Halacha applies even by Bari or not, or it was only said B'yoyim Hanchilas Banav, which is only on the day that he's dying, like a Shchibra. So since, as we'll explain, Rav Huna's Halacha is bringing out Rabbi Yechim Rikis Halacha, which, again, it's not clear if that would apply to Bari or not, that's why it says in regards in the context of a Shchibra. So says Rav Huna as follows, a person on his deathbed, Shekasav Kol Nechasav La'acha, who writes all his property should go to this other person, unspecified. He doesn't say if it should be a gift or it should be an inheritance. Rather, he just writes, Nichse Laplaini, my properties are for that person. So says Rav Huna Ryan. So we look, we analyze. What do we look? If the recipient of this gift is Ro Liyarshay, is someone that's fit to be an inheritor. For example, he's writing all his properties to one of his many sons. So then Naitlan Mishum Yerusha, so that individual will take it due to the laws of inheritance, which that is like Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke. Because since, meaning where Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke said that you could give, although inheritance really should be divided amongst all the sons, he said you could choose one son to give more than the other sons. Now, since this individual, let's say the son, is fit to inherit, so we assume that the intention when he says Nichsi Lepleini, which was one of his sons, was to give it to him through the prism, through the medium of inheritance. And the reason that is because he didn't specify there should be a gift. Because in contrast, regarding inheritance, you don't have to specify. Because inheritance is automatic for, let's say, like a son. And therefore, wherever we could say that it was and through, he wanted it through to be like inheritance, which that takes effect biblically, we don't say that we would assume that he was giving as a gift, because that would be uprooting the biblical halacha of inheritance. We assume if he's fit to inherit, that the one who's dying wanted it to work through the laws of inheritance. Now, vimlav, but if the recipient, this plainly, is not anyone that's fit to be the inheritor, then by default you have to say that he was trying to say nichsei nesunin leplainy. He was trying to say that my property should be given as a gift to that individual. And the reason for that is because a person doesn't say something for nothing. And then we must say that he probably wanted to give it as a gift and not through the laws of inheritance. And therefore, neit l'mishum matana, then that individual takes it through the laws of matanas of gifts, which the Gemara later on is going to explain. What's the difference? Who cares? He's giving it to that person. Who cares if it's working through inheritance or through a gift? But that's the halacha of Rav Huna. On that, Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, he said, "Ginave ginuve lamalach. Why do you have to be a thief? In other words, why do you have to say an unspecified statement when you say, okay, when someone says like this, then we look, is it like this or like that? Why do you have to be a plagiarist? Why do you have to be a thief? And that is, Isvir Allah Kribiyachim Membereka, if you hold a Kribiyachim Membereka, who he said, that if a person says regarding someone that's fit to inherit, that he wants this person to get all his properties, that Dvarv Kayam, and that's what we said in our Mishnah, and that's why you say, oh, we look, if this person's fit to Yarshin, then we say, oh, he'll actually Yarshin it, which is really Kribiyachim Membereka's halacha, because the fact about a gift, that's pretty obvious. You know that a person could be recipient of a gift, even though he's not a Yerush. So it sounds like that your primary Chiddush is that you're coming to say, but if he's royally Yerush, he'll get it through Yerusha, which is like a Bechem Reka. So then asked Rav Nachman, well, the name, but then just say explicitly, Halacha Kabechem Reka, Halacha Fazer Kabechem Reka, and don't seclude your words and conceal it to say like a Bechem Reka in a way that people won't realize that you're really saying over his Halacha. Your whole teaching is essentially saying over halacha, why are you saying like you're saying getting up and giving a shir? You're basically saying that his teaching in a concealed way. Why are you doing that? Now that the Gemara continues and says Rav Nachman, Dilma maybe, and this is all the continuation of what Rav Nachman was asking to Rav Huna, maybe that was not your intention when you said in this unspecified way to really tell us Rabbi Yechim Rikis halacha in a concealed way. Rather, maybe, ki hokamrit. It was like this that you were saying. In other words, that there was an actual incident where someone, in an unspecified way, as we're going to explain shortly, had said, nichsei lepleini. But the primary point of what you were coming to teach us was to say that there's going to be a difference between if it's taken as a gift or if it's taken as inheritance, as the Gemara is going to explain what that significance would be. Now, it was only parenthetically that through your teaching, it was coming out that you obviously hold the Kribiyachim and Bereka, but the primary point that you were coming to illustrate was not to teach his halacha, because then, yes, of course, you would have been specific and said halacha the Kribiyachim and Bereka, but rather you wanted to say the following teaching. Regarding a person that was passing on from this world to the next, and they said to him, in other words, he's trying to say, maybe this is what you meant when you said this case of Shchiv Merash HaKosav Kol Nechasav La'achar. That it was like in such a situation, someone's about to die, and they say to him, Nichsei Laman, that guy's assets, meaning yours, who should it go to? You're about to pass on, who should get it? Dilma Laplanya, maybe for that person? Vamalahu El Laman, and the answer is, and rhetorically, and but then, if not who? In other words, who should take my properties if not that person? Which is essentially like as if he's saying these words that Rav Huna was saying, that nichsei lach, as if saying that my property should go to you, to that person. Which, that's what Rav Nachman was saying, although the words Rav Huna said was, shekasav kol nechasav la'achar, it means to say that you said, because what's the difference if it's written or said? But that was the case. The amrit la na la, and regarding that is what you were coming to teach us, that no matter what the situation is, of course that recipient is going to take it. But of that you were coming to explain, if that person is a relative that's ro li yarshay, that's fit to inherit it, and these words, el laman, which is the way Rav Nachman is dramatizing, illustrating it, but, and if not, for who? And so to the words that, like we're saying, Rav Huna, when you say, Nichse Loch, that my property should go to you, to that person, that can mean two different things. When a person is a Yerush, it can mean a terminology of inheritance. When the person is not fit to inherit, it can mean a terminology of gifting, which again, the Gemara later is going to explain what's the difference and what's they coming to teach, but that's what you would come to say. You come to say that if he's Roli Arshai, so Nait L'Misham Yerusha, so he takes it as inheritance. Vim Lav, Nait L'Misham Matan, and if not, then you're going to take it as a gift. Maybe that's what you're coming to teach. Amalei, to that, Rav Huna responded to Rav Nachman, in, yes, Hachi Kamina, that's exactly what I was coming to say regarding someone that just writes, unspecified, that it should go to that person. That's what I was coming to teach. What I was coming to teach is sometimes it might be inheritance and sometimes it might be a gift. But yeah, not to say that, oh, when it's going to be inheritance, that's going to work, because that is Rabbi Yechimur Gisalacha. We know that. I'm not coming to say his teaching. I was coming to say because sometimes it could be Rusha, sometimes it could be Matan. So now the Gemara asks, okay, so Lamai Helchasa, what halacha is there coming to teach us? What's the difference? Either way, this person is going to get this person's property. So Savar of Adbar Abba Kameda Rava Lamemasar. Rav Adbar Abba thought to say and explain in front of Rava as follows, that what's going to be the difference, and what is Rav Huna coming to teach us, is as follows. Im Roli Arshe, if this person is fit to inherit, and that's where Rav Huna is saying that then the person is going to be getting it as an inheritance, that the significance is going to be that Amanusai, that the widow of this person who died, will then subsequently be Nizainis Minachasa. She will get fed from those properties which this person inherited. Because as the Mishnah teaches in Ksubas Dav Tzadahim and Beis, that the widow gets fed from the assets of the Yisayimim, which doesn't mean only the orphans, it means the ones who inherit the estate. So that's going to be only if it's a Yerusha. But Vimla, but if not, if the person is not fit to be a Yerush, then we say the person is taking it as a gift. Oh, then in Almanusasai Nizainis Minachasam. Then his widow is not going to be fed from the estate, as the Mishnah teaching Gittin Daf Memchesim Abeis, that Imitzin Lamazin Isha Vahabonis Minachasim Mishabadin, that you don't collect the sustenance of the widow or what the daughters are supposed to be fed from incumbent properties, as the Mishnah they're teaching, they tikkun Olam, because sustenance of the wife is something that has no set amount. And purchasers, consumers cannot be careful with that. And therefore, we said that they can't collect it from Nechasim Mishabadim, which includes both a gift or a sale. So that's a pretty significant difference, says Rav Adbar Abba, that would be what Rav Huna is coming to teach, that it's going to depend. If the person's Roli Yerusha, then it'll be Yerusha and the widow will get. But if he's not, then it's Matan and she won't get. But that only Rava refuted his interpretation. He says, wait a second. Because this person that was dying gave his properties as a matna shchid mera, which is only a rabbinic acquisition, because the truth is, a person cannot gift his things after he dies. It's only a rabbinic injunction that the words of a dying person should be what's called kiksubinu kumisurun dami, as if it was written and given over. Which biblically doesn't really work. It's only that we don't want him to be in a situation that it can make him die quicker and in a difficult situation, because you know, oh my, I'm not going to get my what I really want to happen before I pass away. So the Rabbanan instituted that. So says Rava, so what? Migra gara? So that would make the strength of the widow worse in a situation when it was given as a matna shchimera? What do you mean? Hashdi birushadei raisa, regarding inheritance, which is biblical, which the strength of the inheritor is very strong, let's say in the case of when he's fit to inherit. Where the Torah actually gives the rights of meriting it when a person is a Yerush, as the Pasuk says, b'yaman tchilas banav, on the day that he bequeathes to his children. And even so, Amrit Almanosai nizaynis minachasev, still by Yerusha, which is deraisa, still we say, that although the Yerush gets it biblically, the widow gets to be fed from his estate, as we said from the Nichse HaYerush. So, b'matana d'rabbanon, so regarding a rabbinic gift, like this case of Matnash Chimra, which is only as a kinyan rabbinically, as we explain, Loi Kolshkin isn't a kavachimer, all the more so that for sure the widow should be able to be fed from that estate, where even something that's biblically going to be someone else's, like the Yerushim she gets, so something that's only someone else's rabbinically, for sure she should be able to collect her mezainas from that person who is receiving, even if he's saying as a matana, but all it is a Matnash Chimra, for sure she should be able to get. And therefore, that cannot be the difference that Rav Huna was coming to teach us regarding if this individual is going to take it as inheritance or taking it as a gift. Because either way, the woman will get her mezainis of an almana from this person that's a recipient.
which actually Rashbam says from here we learn that this, that we know that the Mazon Isha V'Abonis, that the sustenance of the woman and of the daughter is not Torah from Shabbatim, that's only by somebody that's a full-fledged Kinyan or a full-fledged sale. But in Matna Shchimra, the widow actually would get fed from the chasm of the one who received the gift, and the same thing would apply to the daughters because it's only a kinyan midrabanan. So that can't be a valid difference between if it's Yerusha or Matana. So Elam HaRava, rather Rava says that the reason why there's a difference if it's a gift or inheritance is Kedeshalach Rav Acha Bar Rav Avi. Like Rav Acha Bar Avi sent that Ladivri B'Yechim Embereka, according to the opinion of B'Yechim Embereka, regarding the following situation. Let's say someone says, Nichsei Lach. Let's say a person on his deathbed says that my property should go to you. Or let's say in the way that Rav Nachman had illustrated was Ve'el Laman, and who else? So basically saying that it should go to this person. But then he says, V'acharecha L'plaini, and after you it should go to this other person. So that's where we see as follows. Im ha-yerishin roli yarsha, if the first person was fit to be a yarish, in other words, to take it as inheritance, and then he takes it as inheritance, and therefore, ein l'sheni b'makom rishon klum, then the second person will never get it after the first person. Why? She'ein l'shem matana eli l'shem yerusha, because that means to say the first person that was getting it was not getting it as a gift, but rather was getting it as an inheritance. And since he made the first person a yarish, which therefore biblically this first person was merited in it, so therefore although he subsequently said that after you, then you should go to this other person, that's masna amasha kasa b'teira. He's stipulating in contradiction to biblical law, because you can't uproot the laws of inheritance from the one already inherited, and therefore even if he specified and says, I'm giving it to you as Yerusha, on condition that after you, this other person should take it, that's stipulating in contradiction to the Torah law, and therefore what he did is done, the first person will get it, and the stipulation, the condition that the second person should get it is totally void. Because of Yerusha Ein Lo Hafzik, inheritance has no stop. Rather, as the Gemara taught earlier on Daf Kof Tezvav Mebeis, it continues. If this person doesn't, then his child, whatever goes, we say it never, it doesn't stop. Whoever the relative that's closest will get it like in laws of Yerusha, that second person will never get it. And therefore, that's the difference Rav Huna was coming to teach us between if it's a Yerush or Matana. If it's Matana, then he could say, okay, after you, then it goes to someone else. If it's Yerusha, you can't take it away anymore. That would try to be Masna, Amasha Kasabatayr. So that's how Rav explains Aloha Rav Huna. But Rav himself asks on this interpretation. Amle Rav le Rav Nachman, but vo afzika. The problem is, but he did stop it. It was with a stipulation that he said that the second person should take it after the first person, who, even though he's saying it's a Yerush, should take it. So that answered Rav Nachman, who savor yesh le hafzik. He thought that you could stop it. He was saying the first person should get it, who, if he's fit to be Yerush, was saying he's doing it through Yerusha, and he was still saying, but after you should go to this other person, he thought he could do that, but Rachmona Omer, Ein Lahefsik. That is the halacha, says Rav Nachman, which Rav Huna was coming to teach us. The Torah says you cannot stop it. And if you are trying to stop this inheritance of the one that you gave it to bequeath it, it's stipulating in contradiction to the Torah law, and therefore what was done is done, and the stipulation to the second person is going to be void. And actually this is the halacha, like Rav Acha sent, and this interpretation of Rav halacha, as we, the Gemara is going to shortly quote an incident that illustrates this exact halacha. As we continue to Amud Beis, the Gemara says an incident, Hahud Amalei L'Chavri, someone said to his friend, who as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, was fit to be a Yerush, he said, Nichsei Lach, that my property should go to you. V'acharecha L'plaini, after you, it should go to this other person. Now, Verishin, as we said, is Roli Yershahava, the first person was fit to be a Yerush. Now, what happened was, so the first person got it. Shachav Rishin, then the first person passed away. Asa Shein Nekatava, so the second person came to claim it and say, the guy who gave it to him said that after he dies, shouldn't go to his children or his relatives, should go to me. So Savra Rav Ilish Kamei Rav Lamemes, Rav Ilish thought to say in front of Rava that Sheini Nami Shakal. So yeah, the second person is also going to take, because the first person only was got it as long as he was alive. But the gift is not going to be anything past that. It's only as long as what the one who gave it to him should be, as long as he's alive, and therefore now it should go to the second person. On that, Omalei, on that, Rabbi said to Rav Ilish, Dayani dechatzatz dehachidaini, it's only lukewarm, compromising judges who judge like this, who are not so proficient in law, and they say, okay, chatzatz, meaning like, let's split it, okay, you know what, we're not sure, okay, you take half, you take half. Only they would do such a thing. Lav hainu deshalach Rav Acha bar Rav Avi, isn't this exactly what Rav Acha bar Avi had sent?
which is, since the first person was fit to be a Yairish, so we say that it was given through the context of a Yairish, which that means to say there's Ein Lo Hefsek, and it's not going to go to the second person at all, even after the first one passes away. So the Gemara tells us that Ichsef. So Rav Elish was embarrassed from Rava, that he was thinking that maybe Rava is thinking to himself, huh, had I not been here, that Rav Elish would have paskind, would have judged falsely and totally erroneously, and maybe everything that he judges when I'm not here, he does erroneously. So he's embarrassed, he was humiliated. So Kari Alei, so Rava recited upon him a pasuk in Yeshaya to console him, that says, Ani Hashem, says Hashem, I am Hashem, Be'ita Achishana, in its appropriate time I will make things go swiftly. What he was trying to tell him was that at the time when the righteous needed salvation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it ready for them. So what Rabbi was telling him was, I also know regarding you that you never stumble in the law that you do. And to the contrary, that's why Hashem prepared me now before it came time for you to paskin, so that you should not stumble. So don't worry, don't be embarrassed. To the contrary, it's because I know that you do not stumble. That's why Hashem comes and gives you salvation, that you should not make a mistake in this halacha. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding this, that a person decides to give as a state, not in the regular, allow it to happen in the biblical law, but rather to write it off to other people before he passes away. So the Mishnah says, HaKisiv ez nechasav l'acherim. Someone writes that his property should not go to his children, rather it should go to other people. V'nichas banav, and leaves his children out to dry. Masha asa asli, what he did is done, which is pretty obvious. And as we know from the previous Mishnah, we know a person could gift away his stuff, but it's because of the next part of the halacha, which is telling us, but it's forbidden to do, because Ela ein ruach hacham noichemenu, but the spirit of the sages is not pleased with such a person, with his actions. Rather, it causes anger, that they are angry on him, because what he is doing is uprooting the biblical law. The Torah obviously wants it to go this way to the children, and you're uprooting that, so although what you did is done, but it's not pleasing to the sages. He says, which Gemara is going to explain if he's coming to explain or he's actually coming to argue on the Tanakhama. He says, Imloi hayu banim noigim kashur, but if his children did not act according to the letter of the law, if they're not acting appropriately, then zachalataif, to the contrary, he's remembered for the good by giving it away to other people and not having his wicked sons inherit him. Now Ibailu had the following question. Do the rabbis dispute Reb Shimon Gamliel's halacha? And that is, they hold that even if the sons are not acting appropriately, the sages are still not pleased with him, because maybe, as the Gemara will say later on, righteous children will come out from them, even though they look like they're not acting appropriately according to the Jewish tradition. So therefore they disagree with Shimon Gamliel. Or maybe they don't and they agree, and he was just explaining that their whole problem was if they're upstanding children, if they're not, then they would agree to him. Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following incident. The Yosef ben Ye'ezer ha'yile ben. Yosef ben Ye'ezer had a son, Shlo ha'yinoi kashur, who was not acting appropriately. Havalei ilisa de dinri. He had this receptacle full of dinarim, full of coins. Kam akdasha. So he didn't want his son to get it. You're not acting appropriately according to our traditions. So he went in his makdasha, he gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what happened was as follows. Azal Nasib Bas. This son married the daughter of Gadol Kalili de Yana Malka, the daughter of the one who would make the crowns of Yana HaMelech. Now, Elida de Besu. Now, this son, he was married, his wife gave birth. So Zavon Obenisa, he went to buy for her a fish because to give her support for her birthing. Kara, they tore open the fish. Ashkech Bar Margalisa, they found a jewel inside the fish. So Amrlei, so his wife said to him, Loitim tai lamalka, don't bring this, which was her father's business, don't bring it to the king to sell it for the purposes of the crowns of the king. They're gonna buy it from you for very cheap. Rather, zil amti legabi gizbari, go ahead and bring it to the treasurer of Hektish, who they need to buy jewels for the stones of the Ephite. Where, as Rashbam explains, although at that point in time already, there was no Urim Ritumim to ask the questions which was used by the Cheshen and the Ephod, as the Pasuk says in Ezra Beis, that Ad Omid Kain La Urim Ritumim, until there's going to be a time when the Kain will have Urim Ritumim, which is like someone saying when until Mashiach comes, because they didn't have the Ephod and the Cheshen, they didn't have the Urim Ritumim, which is Hashem's name inside of that, but the actual Ephod and the Cheshen,
that they still had, because a Kohen Gadol cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash without the Shemayin HaBegadim, which includes the Eifed and the Cheshen, which there were these precious gems in the Eifed and the Cheshen, which was the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So bring it to them, and they need these gems. But you should not go ahead and evaluate it. In other words, you don't open up by telling them how much you're going to willing to sell it to Hekdesh, because once you're going to go ahead and do a lower price, you're not going to be able to take any more a higher price. Because the halach is that mirasa legevoy can misrasa lehedyut, that saying something in the context of Hekdesh, of Hashem, is like something that was already a done deal, as if you gave it over regarding common people. As the Pasuk teaches in Birka Chav Zayin, V'ish ki yaktish, a man is going to be maktish, as it says in Varm Chav Gimel, Meitzah v'sechat tishmer, just the words that you say is already considered a done deal. Ella, rather, his wife told him that the treasurer, who he's a professional in assessing, L'shemiu inhu, let them go ahead and assess it, and he's a God-fearing individual, and he won't undersell you. So Amtiyah, he brought it to Hekdesh, to the Gizbar, Shemua betleisri ilasa the dinri, and he evaluated for a value of 13 of these receptacles worth of dinar. So Amri lay, so they said to this person that was bringing the jewel, that sheva ikka, out of these 13 that this jewel is worth, of these receptacles full of these dinarm coins, Hekdesh only has 7 of them. But shisleka, for the remaining 6 we don't have, we can't buy this jewel from you, we don't have the remaining 6. So Amalu, he said to them, no problem. Sheva havali, give me those 7 receptacles worth of dinar. And shis harihein muktashis l'shamayim, the difference of the 6 that you owe me should be Hekdesh for Shemayim. In other words, the over evaluation of the stone, amaktish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to pay me that. So Amdu v'kasu, they stood up and they wrote, because they used to write the calculations of Hekdesh, how much was coming in and how much was going out. Now, however, but from the words that they wrote is what the Gemara is going to make a diyuk, which Rashbam actually says what you could say is that actually they wrote so that things should be learned from what they wrote in, as many times we learn things from the what was written in the books of different city councils and same thing here regarding Hekdesh. They wrote, Yosef ben Ye'ezer, regarding this guy's father, Hichnis Achas, he brought in 1 ilasa de dinri to Hekdesh. Ubenai and his son, who he thought was acting inappropriately, ultimately, Hichnes Sheish, he was makdish these 6 receptacles worth of dinarim. And why? Because the merit of his father, who was makdish the one that he had, because his son was acting inappropriately, so he didn't want to give it to his son, that ultimately was a merit which caused that his son should be upstanding and ultimately be makdish 6 of them. Which from this, the Gemara is going to want to later on be medayik, that obviously his father, Yosef ben Ye'ezer, had done well by being makdish and not letting it go to his son. Which obviously that teaches us that the Rabbanan did not disagree with Shimon ben Gamliel. Because it says, Amdu v'kasva, that they got up and they wrote, which that's all the sages of the generation that agreed to what the Gizbar had done. So that's one version of what they wrote. But v'ikad amri, there are those that say that actually they wrote it in a derogatory way. They wrote, Yosef ben Ye'ezer hichnes achas. The father brought in 1. Ubenai haitzi sheva. And the son withdrew from Hekdesh 7. And that is what basically was saying was that he should not have taken that much money from Hekdesh to totally empty them out. He should have left in Hekdesh at least 1 or 2 of these receptacles. But actually, to the contrary, he revealed his intention that if they would have had all of these 13 aliyahs that it was worth his jewel, he would have taken it all. So we see that in a derogatory way, he's clearing out Hekdesh. So though that's the second version. But says the Gemara, Midika Amri, from the fact that in the first version they said that the son was hichnis, that he brought in 6, which they're praising what the son had done, Mechlal, we could infer that the father, that when he gave away his, instead of giving to the son, the shaper of it, that he did well, which is like Reb Shimon, which is like we explained, which is that we're saying that Rabban agreed to Reb Shimon. Now, although the Ikad Amri, as we're going to shortly say, obviously disagrees with this, but the Gemara did not yet entertain to learn out from the Ikad Amri. And that's how the Gemara many times does this, which they first bring a Raya from the Reisha, and then they say, oh, but let's look at the Seifa. Which the Gemara does right now. The Gemara says, no, Adrabba, to the contrary. According to the second version, you could infer that Rabban disagreed with Reb Shimon. Because Medika Amri, Haitzi, from the fact that they say that he took out, in other words, what they're saying is that because Yosef ben Ye'ezer, the father, brought in this 1 receptacle of dinarim which he did inappropriately, because he should not have been makdish all his properties, and he should have left it for his son, even though he was not acting appropriately. From there we learn that Rabban disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. And because he had done inappropriately, something bad came out from this, which we see that the son did worse, that he took away from Hekdesh 7, which should totally clear out of Hekdesh. Mechlal de lav shapa of it. From there we can infer that the father did not do well by not giving to his son the inheritance, even though the son was not acting appropriately. So Elul rather says the Gemara, Mahalak Lamashmina, obviously from these two different versions, we cannot be conclusive, because obviously it's a machlikis tanoim who disagree, where the Tana of the first version says that the Chacham do not disagree, which Reb Shimon then hold that a person should not give it if they're acting inappropriately, which the second version holds that they do disagree, and therefore we don't know who to rely on. So the Gemara concludes and says, Samai Havala, so what's the conclusion? Says the Gemara, Tashma, you can bring a raya from this to Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Huda. Shmuel said Rabbi Huda, Shinana, which many times in Shas it calls him the sharp one, Loi tahave be'avur achsanta, you should not be around in a place where a father is deviating the inheritance from the appropriate child, even if he wants to give one more and one less. Vafila mibra bishla bratav, and even if he wants to take away, to detract from the worse son, to give more to the good son. And v'koshki mibro lebrata, and for sure you should not be around, because then you're going to be like condoning, if he's taking it away from a son and giving to a daughter. So obviously from this teaching we see that Rabbanan disagree with the Reb Shimon, and the fact that Shmuel says this halacha, because if not, then Shmuel is going like who? Obviously that, and this is the halacha like the Rabbanan, who Shmuel is going like, where he's saying that, no, it's never appropriate to switch the laws of inheritance, even if it's going from a bad son and you're taking it away, it should go, not like Reb Shimon, it should still go to the rightful channels, to the one that's inheriting. Now, Rashbam just addressed and says, although Reb Yechanan says in other places in Shas that Halacha is Reb Shimon Liel in every place where he teaches Halacha in Amishnayis, except for three different places, Shmuel does not hold of that klal, and so too we find Rav in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, also where he says Halacha is Reb Shimon Liel. Well, obviously we know it's every beside those three places, obviously also does not hold to that klal. And therefore, wherever you have a klal in the Gemara, like Halacha Kistam Mishnah, or Halacha Reb Akiva Mechaveirai, or Reb Yosi Mechaveirai, or Reb Shimon Liel in our Mishnah, or that whenever you have Reb Elazar Yeshua, Halacha Reb Yeshua, or Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon, Halacha like Reb Yehuda, and Reb Meir Reb Yehuda, Halacha Reb Yehuda, all of them hold like this, except for the place where the Gemara says explicitly the Halacha is not like that, but that's what he's saying, the Halacha is like the, in other words, although generally we say the halacha is like Reb Shimon, but that's what in this case is an exception. He's saying the halacha is not like Reb Shimon, not like the klal that Rabbi Yechanan is saying. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, that where if a person is deviating and not giving it to his child, there was a story with a person that his children were not acting appropriately. So, Ahmad Vakasim Nachasim Leinz Ben Azil, he said, I'm not giving my money to these kids, these ingrates. He went and he wrote it and gave it to a tzaddik, to Yonis Ben Azil. So, Ma'as Yonis Ben Azil, what did he do with that money? So, Machr Shlish, so he sold a third of it off for his own purposes. The Hikdish Shlish, another third, he was Makdish to the base of Mikdash, which you could say, says Rashbam, that the reason why he first sold a third and was makdish a third was so that it should be known that the remaining third, which we're going to see, that the Gemara says v'hichsu l'banav shlish, that the remaining third he gave back to the sons was from his own, and he was demonstrating that by saying, see, a third I sold, a third I gave to Ekdish, and that I have the right to, as ultimately that's what he's going to respond to Shammai. So that was showing that the third that he gave back to the children, which, what I mean, the whole reason why you got it was that the son should not get it, was from him and not from the father, and he has the right to do that. But the Gemara says, Baal of Shammai b'makli b'tarmilu. So Shammai came to him, who was known as a captain, with his stick and with his pouch. In other words, he was coming to confront him and say, what do you mean, you violated the words of the dying man? His whole intention was to give it to you, that his children should not benefit from it, where it was almost like as if he explicitly told to you, I'm giving you my properties with the intention that you should only sell it for your own purposes, that you should have the benefit, but not to give it to my children, which because we evaluate and we assess that that was his intention, even though he didn't explicitly say that. So what Shammai was telling your Highness was, what do you mean? This that you give the money back to the children is nothing. Because if you're going to be giving back that third, then it's as if the original gift that you got is not a gift. because it was like someone that deposits his properties by someone where he says, on the condition not to give it to my sons, where essentially Shammah was telling him, go take that third back from the sons. Your only right to have the money was not to give it to the sons. And the reason for that is because we know that Allah is mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. You have to fulfill the commands and the wishes of the dying person. Now, however, as we're going to see, Shammai made an error from the story that happened in Beis Chayrin, which is going to be quoted on the next daf, where in regarding such a situation where a person said, I'm only giving it to you with the purpose that you don't make it hektish to Shemayim, that the Chacham said, well, that's not a gift, because since the person's violating what the one who gave it to him, and therefore the hektish is not going to take effect, so Shammai was saying, so here too, since you violated the words of the dying person, well, that means retroactively that the gift that you got was never a gift, and therefore the giving it back to the kids is not giving back to the kids, just like over there, where the gift was void, so too, the hektish is not going to take effect. But on that is what the Shammai had made an error, and the difference is because over there, the person said explicitly that I'm only giving you the intention that I want my father to come to my chasna, and so on, as we'll see in the next daf. But over here, when he gave it to Yainasin, he gave it to him unspecified. He didn't say explicitly on the intention that only you benefit, not my sons. And therefore, he totally gave it to Yainasin to do it as he pleases. And that's what Yainasin responded to him. And Omaleh, he said to him as follows, Shammai, if you could take back what I sold and what I was makdish, those two-thirds, then you could go ahead and rightfully take back what I had given back to the children. Meaning, like your logic, you're trying to say, well, if you give it back to them, well, that means the matana was never matana, and therefore what you sold is not sold, what you hektish was not hektish, and therefore everything's undone. Says Yenison, if you're right, if you could take back what I sold and what I was makdish, then you're right, then what I gave to the children will go back. But as we continue, Tabav Kofalamad al Madalev, but Imlav, but if not, in other words, what Yohanan was saying was that just like you cannot take back what I sold, because there you do admit to me and you agree that it was with that intention that this dying person said that I should benefit from it, which I did by selling it and being makdashid. So then says Yohanan, so too, i'ata yochalohitzi mashachzarti. For that reason itself, you cannot take back now what I gave back that third to the children. Why? Because by default, a gift is not done in halves. In other words, if I can't go ahead and give it to the sons, then your logic should continue. Then what I myself benefit from also should not be able to be done, which, as the Gemara is going to quote later on, the Maisa of Beis Chayrin, where since it was given with the intention of to benefit only not to be makdashit, so if the person is makdashit, then it's not a gift at all in the first place. So to over here, if it was with that was done, then I didn't have permission to give it to the sons or to whoever I want to, so then neither did I have the rights to sell it to other people or to be makdash. But rather, what do you have to say, and you would agree, that why is my sale a sale and what I was makdash a hektash? Because he didn't specify explicitly what it has to be done with it. So too over here, regarding retracting, he didn't specify, and therefore, what I gave back to them is a done thing. In contrast to the, as we'll see, the Maisa Beis Chayrin, because it was explicit. Of course, if you're explicit, you can't go in contradiction to the terms of the person that gave it to you. Now, but as Rashbam says, Shammai was not medayik originally regarding the sale and the hektish that Yohanesin had sold and was makdish, which, as we said, the logic then forces, because since that half is going to be valid, then the remaining third, also by default, since a gift cannot be partial, it must also include that, and therefore Yohanesin bested him. So Amar, so Shammai said, I hitiach alai ben Uziel, hitiach alai ben Uziel. Which the word hitiach is like, as we find the Gemara Tainus, hitiach dvarim klal b'mayla, which is like as if throwing. So he was saying, as if he responded to me in the derogatory way that he bested me, but it was like in a jesting type of way. Oh, Ben Aziel, you threw me out over there under the bus. Which basically says that yeah, he was right, because although he was saying that, what do you mean, the father didn't want that, but it doesn't make a difference since wasn't explicit. And as Shammai has to agree, if it's going to work with the mecher and with the hektish, then by default it's going to have to work regarding what he returned to the sons. And therefore the halacha is, like Yonasan ben Aziel had done, that the third that he gave to the sons is going to be valid, and it's back in theirs, that third that the father did not give them from the inheritance.